Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Moseke is already on the line. Good afternoon, Pastor. Hello, Pastor.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Ligai Muruti. Muruti, we are talking, we're continuing to talk about a beautiful subject that we've been talking to you about since Monday, and we are continuing today. I hope that your day has been fine, though, before actually I get to it.
Yeah, it was fine. It's just hot today.
Sorry, it's just that?
It's hot, very hot today.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, man, I can tell you, it is as much hot here as it is hot there. And, Botswana, my goodness. You guys, I don't wish to have your kind of temperatures, I must tell you that. Now, let's get to our topic, resisting temptation. Now, the devil has been tempting the children of God with all kinds of evil schemes since creation of the world. And there are many records of the forefathers of our faith who were blessed after overcoming the devil's temptation. And through their examples, we want to learn the kind of faith that we must have in order to overcome temptation. Now, please share some of the greatest examples of resisting temptation in the Bible.
The one person that comes to mind, Joseph. Joseph was enticed by a woman, the wife of his master. He resisted. He told her that I cannot do this, to the point where she grabbed his jacket or grabbed him, and then he had to run away.
So yeah.
He's a prime example of what it means to resist temptation, and he literally fled from temptation. And then the next one that I want to talk about is Jesus. I mean, remember that we did talk the other day about how temptation is not only enticement to do evil, but also there is enticement to do that which may benefit you, but then not benefit other people. So I want to talk about Christ in that example. Christ was tempted to not go along with the plan of salvation, that is dying for human beings. And in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, there's a record where he is in the garden, he's praying, he says, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." So at that point in time, in the life of Christ, there was this urge or this kind of pressure in him to look, be like, I want to give up. But then he prayed in that instance. In the instance of Joseph, he literally ran away. So we see that prayer and submitting to God's will and actually removing oneself from the immediate physical presence of temptation is a way to, and these two, I think, is the greatest examples in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, of what it means to resist temptation.
Now, you've mentioned those two examples, Jesus and also Joseph, and of course, I'm sure there's many others. But are there particular lessons that we can learn from these instances, about the possibility of being able to also resist it? Is there a particular thread that we see among these people that they have used so that they are able to resist temptation?
Yes. The common theme between Joseph and Jesus is this, and of course, all the others that I didn't mention that have overcome temptation.
Yeah.
They consider the will of God. What is it that God wants me to do in this situation? How does God want me to confront this situation and come off still representing him, still reflecting his character? That was the main thing. And then after considering that, then they act in harmony with that consideration, of course, with the grace of God or with the help of God. And prayer goes without saying. I mean, it doesn't say that Joseph prayed, but the assumption is that he had that connection with God, which is established through other disciplines like prayer, like studying his word and meditating on it. And then the case of Jesus is recorded that he prayed. So those are the things that we can learn from them. Those are the main issues that we can learn from them as far as overcoming temptation is concerned.
Now, is temptation a sin in and of itself?
No. The Bible doesn't even give that idea. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about Jesus. It says Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. In the same way that we are tempted, he was tempted but without sin. So just that shows us that temptation in and of itself is not sin. And James takes it further. In James chapter 1, verse 12, verse 14, he says that temptation comes when someone is enticed and the enticement leads with the desire that they have inside of them. And when they act on that enticement in harmony with that desire, then they have sinned. And then sin produces death. We see that temptation in and of itself is not sin, but only when we yield to it, temptation to do evil, when you yield to the temptation to do evil, then we have sin.
But now tell me, because you know, there's where Christ says that if you have thought about it, even if you have not done it, just thinking about it, already you have committed sin. I mean, he says that if you look at a woman in a lustful way, so you do not have to have committed a sexual a sin with her, but that you've already imagined it means that you are sinning. Now with temptation, I suppose that the evil one just wants you to just think about it. Now, I think there's a thin line there, because in certain instances with temptation, you may think about it, in which case you've then sinned.
Actually, thank you for bringing that point out. What Christ says in Matthew chapter 5 is exactly that when someone looks upon a woman lustfully, with lust, with a desire to do something with her, then they've already committed adultery. Now, we cannot, by and large, control the thoughts that come upon our minds, mostly. But we can have full control of whether we entertain those thoughts or not.
Okay.
Now, when I entertain the thought and see it as something that I can benefit from, that, look, you know what, if I had the opportunity, I would definitely do this, then it is that the only thing that is like is the opportunity, place, and the time for me to do that. It just shows the condition of my heart that I don't see that thing as a sin anymore. So that is the principle that Christ was communicating. Now, one can see a beautiful woman who looks beautiful, really, and we cannot deny that she is beautiful and she's attractive. But seeing her doesn't mean that now they have sinned. But it's what they do upon seeing that woman. Is this someone that I can go and do this and this with? Although maybe there's guababa there, but... But the fact that the thought is interesting, it just shows that the heart is more prone toward doing the action. That is forbidden, yes.
Yeah. Pastor, in fact, I want to talk about Bible study, personal Bible study. Is there a role that the personal Bible study or prayer helps one to be disciplined in resisting temptation?
Yes, there is actually. It plays a very great role. Christ, when he talks about prayer, he says that pray that you fall not into temptation. And that's what he repeats in the Gospel. And Paul, when he talks to Timothy, when he counsels Timothy about the word of God, he says that, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, verse 17, that the word of God or the scriptures are inspired by God and they are profitable for doctrine, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we see that the word of God tells us what is right. It gives us instruction that which is right. It guides us. And when we actually follow it, then we become fitted for good works. And good works exclude yielding to temptation to sin. So it empowers our minds. It empowers our spirituality when we study the Word of God. And this is how it happens, because God in Isaiah says that his word will not come back to him void.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book of Psalms, the psalmist says that the word of God is light. It gives understanding to the simple.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God is powerful. It can create righteousness where there is wickedness, where there is sin.
Mm-hmm.
So when we study the word of God, we do it prayerfully, then we are arming ourselves with spiritual reinforcements that will help us to resist temptation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Now, before I let you go, my pastor, how is it important? How important is it to surround oneself with friends who are godly and the community that is spiritual when building resistance against temptation?
It's very important. I'll just take one example that comes to mind right now.
Mm.
It's the example of Daniel. Daniel surrounded himself with three other guys who were of the same sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
They had the same discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when he decided or he resolved in his heart, according to chapter 1, verse 8, that he will not defile himself, it was not, of course, it was his personal decision, but that was also strengthened by the fact that he had other people around him.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the same people that he prayed with whenever there were issues. So he prayed with them, according to Daniel chapter 1, chapter 2, rather. He prayed with them and consulted with them. And we see that through that, he became the Daniel that we know. We read about him, we read about them. You can see that they were on the same plane. They were on the same frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And we also see that we see this principle in the book of Proverbs, that if one walks with fools, they will become foolish.
Yeah,
and if one walks with those who are wise, they will become wise.
Mm.
So it just shows that peer pressure, whether negative or positive, plays a role in someone's spirituality. Now, if we surround ourselves with people who are pressing on the upward way, who are pressing on toward righteousness, then we stand a better chance of resisting temptation than if we stick around with people who don't care at all about righteousness and overcoming temptation.
Mm. Well, beautiful one, Pastor. Thank you so much for your time. Indeed, we've got to learn how to keep a good company of friends, because they say, what is English saying? That bad company corrupts good character, eh?
Yeah. Well, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are.
Fantastic, man. Well, Pastor, thank you so much. I appreciate your time and thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, my elder.
Lovely. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.